Revelation 15. The shortest chapter in Revelation. If you go back to our last message on Revelation, Revelation chapter 14, you know, basically talking about where the angels are preaching the gospel and talked about those that's worshiping the beast and concerning the, you know, when God comes in and harvests the earth. But chapter 15 takes us back to a position in heaven. Amen. Revelation chapter 15, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. We'll be reading verse 1 through verse 8. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, and all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Let's pray. God, we love you. And Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word. Lord, we want to reiterate tonight, God, that this is the only book in your Bible, God, that says we'll be blessed from reading it and hearing it. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you would move in this sanctuary. If there's one that's not saved, God, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation, Lord. And God, if maybe there's one that's watching tonight, God, that's not saved, help them, dear God, to realize that, Lord. And Lord, as we open up this word, God, as we open up and try to expound on your scripture, God, give us what we need to say, and whatever's done, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this chapter, once again, John is looking up into heaven in these eight verses. It's like I say, it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. We see a vision of God as he's heaven. And what this vision is the final judgment that's going to be poured out on earth. This is kind of a prelude, I guess, or a vision that God has said. Up to this point, now listen, up to this point, God has kind of mingled mercy and judgment together. If you go back and as we study through the book of Revelations, God is he's poured out wrath, yes, but there's also been mercy that's been shown throughout the book of Revelation. In this chapter, it's over. In this chapter, no more mercy. Humanity has made its final choice. Mankind has made its final choice. They've chosen Satan over Jesus, and judgment is coming. There will not be no mercy. There's only the wrath of God is going to be poured out from here on out. Now, in verse 1 and verse 7, let's look at the vision of this judgment. The Bible says that John saw another sign. The word sign is the same word translated as wonder in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 3. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, we saw a woman which represented the nation of Israel. In verse 3, John saw a great red dragon which represented Satan. In these verses, John sees seven angels who will be God's instrument of the final judgment on earth. John tells that this vision is both a great and marvelous. The word great speaks of something that's important or astonishing. And John is trying to get our attention. The word marvelous there has the idea of something to be wondered at. John is basically saying, what I'm telling you right now is amazing. And watch and listen. You know, it's amazing to me that sometimes, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm guilty. Sometimes I read over things in the Bible. Y'all ever do that? You ever, Brother Donald, I know you read a lot. You ever read over stuff like it ain't important? How many of y'all have ever wondered about all them genealogies in the Bible? You know, that's important, though. A lot of times, if we're not careful, then as I was studying this today, we need to really look, Brother Charlie, at every verse, every word. Every word in this King James Bible is there for a reason. And John is telling us this is an amazing sight that he has seen. Now let's look at the scene of the final judgment. John sees the seven angels, and these angels have the seven last plagues. The word plague right there, it comes from the root word that means a hitting or a wound. In other words, God is getting ready to wound the earth with the final judgment that he is going to inflict on people. And these seven judgments are poured out. There will be a complete judgment. A complete judgment, and basically it's going to complete the judgments of the tribulation period. Verse 1 says that through these judgments, the wrath of God is filled up. This phrase translated in the Greek is telos. It's the same word that Jesus used when he was dying on the cross. Just before he died, he cried out, "It is finished." That word filled up is basically the same word that Jesus said when it is finished. The word is very impressive in what it was used for back in the day. Servants would use this word when they would come in, or slaves would use this word when they would come in from completing a job, and they would say it is finished. Priests would use this word when they had located the right animal to be used for the sacrifice that was going to be given. Farmers would use this same word for when they'd find the perfect specimen in their flock. It is finished. I have found it. Artists would use this same word when they put the finishing work on a piece of art. Merchants would use this same word when a deal had been struck. And often the receipt that you would get, it would basically would play, Mike would say, paid in full, or it is finished. Soldiers would use this when they placed their foot on the neck of their enemy just before they were getting ready to destroy their enemy. Homeowners would use it when they had paid the last payment on their home, and it was paid in full. It is finished. When these seven plagues are poured out, God is saying, it is finished. It is it. Won't be no more plagues after this because it's going to be over. Now, let's look at the scene of these judgments. These judgments are poured out. The seven angels are given these bowls or vials, and these bowls are said to be full of the wrath of God. That word full there, it basically means to be swelled. It's the same word that they would use when they would fill up a ship to its capacity, and they could put no more on it. It would hold no more. In other words, God's wrath that now has reached its boiling point. God's wrath at this point has reached, I mean, after this, no more mercy. I was studying, and I saw this story. In 1899, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, there was a growing steel plant located on the Stony Creek Rivers. It had a population of about 30,000 people. On May 31st, 1899, at 4:07 p.m., after a night of heavy rains, the South Fork Dam burst. And when it did, 20 million tons of water came crashing down a narrow valley, boiling with huge chunks of debris. The wall of water, they said, had got as high as 60 feet. It went down at 40 miles an hour, leveling everything in its path. When the dam broke and the water came hurling toward Johnstown, the people heard the roar and they understood what had happened, but it was too late to get out the way. Up to this point in Revelation, up to this point in our study, I want you to kind of get a picture. God's wrath is almost like when where you're at a dam and you got water pouring over the dam, Jackie. Yes, the water's coming. But in this chapter here, the dam breaks. And God's unleashing it all. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen real good. If you ain't saved, this is coming. This is coming. That's the vision of the judgment. Now let's look at, it's kind of crazy to me when you, the next one is the vision of joy. That's the vision of judgment. Let's look at the vision of joy. Let's go back and read verse 2 through verse 4. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea mingled of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on a sea of glass having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Any time, I don't care what you do, any time you get a glimpse into heaven, they're worshiping. Anytime. And that's what we're seeing here. Every time we look into heaven, all we can see is worship. Some of the worst times in history are going on right now, but in heaven they're worshiping, amen. Some of the hardest times on this earth that's ever happened, but in heaven they're worshiping now. You and I go through hard times down here, but guess what? In heaven they are. In heaven they're not worried about the economy. In heaven they're not worried about the presidential election. In heaven they're not worried about what's going on down here. They're just worshiping God. That ought to excite us tonight. I was watching Preacher Billy Fields went live at 6 o'clock at his church, and he said he told Miss Peggy that he felt like that church was about the best place to be at this time with everything they're going on in their life. And he said, for 42 years I've trusted God, and I'm going to trust him now. He said it, and I'd never heard, he said it reminded him of an old preacher man that said one time he said he'd been on both sides of the bed in the hospital. He said, and God's still God, whether you lay in the bed or whether you're standing beside the bed. God's still God in the good times, and God's still God in the bad times, amen. And what we ought to do, we ought to just come on into God's house and raise our hands and say, I know it might be bad, and I know things ain't good, and I know, hey, it seems like everything's falling apart, but I got a God up in heaven that's still sitting on the throne, amen. There is joy in heaven. There was joy in heaven just a few weeks ago when we had that Easter play, and folks were saved. Folks, I'm just telling you, when you look into heaven, they're always worshiping. No matter what's going on down here, they're worshiping the setting of this joy. They are in heaven, the source of this joy. These are tribulation saints that have died and been martyred in the tribulation. Notice what it says. And they sang the song. And verse 2, mingled fire. And they gotten the victory over the beast and gotten the victory over his image, gotten the victory over his mark, got the victory over the number of his name. Glory to God. They have made it through. They are worshiping. They are shouting. They are glorifying God. They are singing the new song. They have been martyred for Christ. They had died, but now they're safe in heaven. These tribulation saints and their voices, they're uniting. They've gotten victory. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, in my mind's been on being with Preacher Billy and Miss Peggy a lot this week. But Taylor got to singing that thing about mercy. Mercy walked in. I remember where I was at. Amen. Amen. I remember where I was at. How many of y'all remember where you were at when Jesus showed up? As I was studying, the Bible talks about that they sing two songs. They sing the song of Moses and they sing the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is found in Exodus chapter 15. It's the first song in the Bible. The song of the Lamb is the last song recorded in the Bible in the book of Revelation. The song of Moses was sung by the children of Israel when they had been delivered out of Egypt from Pharaoh. The song of the Lamb is sung by the saints of God when they had been delivered from the Antichrist. The song of Moses was sung by the Red Sea. The song of Lamb is sung by the glass. See, the song of Moses was a praise for bringing God's people out. The song of the Lamb is going to be praise for bringing God's people in. Somebody ought to shout right there. Y'all go ahead and shout. I'm preaching. Amen. I'm glad that one day he's going to bring us in. Amen. One day the rapture is going to take place. One day he's going to call us out of here. He's going to take us in, and we ain't going to have to worry about none of this no more. They sing of his works. They sing about the God whose power has saved them. They sing of his ways. They sing about the God whose ways are always right and just. They sing of his wonder. They sing of his exalted greatness and magnify the only God who's worthy of praise. They sing of his worship. They sing of the God who's worthy to receive the worship of all mankind. But then they sing of his wrath. They sing of God who alone is worthy to judge sin. Ain't nobody else can judge sin. Ain't nobody else can pour out this on this earth but Jesus. Amen. That's what they're singing. They've gone through a terrible time. They've gone through the most. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I cannot imagine what these people had to go through. When they had to fight the beast and they had to fight the Antichrist. They had to fight all the stuff that's going to happen. Thank God for the church. Amen. Thank God, Cam, we're going to get out of here. We ain't got to worry about going through all that stuff. Amen. When we get to heaven, Brother Ralph, we can stand back and watch them sing this song, because we can be singing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb that saved us from all that." But they're singing that song. And even though they've gone through all that, even though it's tough, even though it's hard, as I was sitting there studying, this song came to my mind. How many's had a tough week? Amen. Think about this little song. Now this Christian life, it's not always been easy. Well, I've had days that I asked the Lord why. 'Cause I've seen the heartache and the pain of some loved ones, till it seemed all that I could do was cry. But through all their storms, even through all their trials, they still had a testimony. When they looked at the grace and the love of our Savior, they said, "He's still been a good God to me. He's good when I'm happy. He's good when I'm sad. He's good when I'm somewhere in between. He's good when the billows have over me rolled. He's good when I've won victory. And so I declare to the forces of Satan that no matter what my circumstance be, with all of my praise, I'll say of my Savior, he's still been a good God to me." Amen. Amen. It don't matter what we're going through, Jesus has always been good. I'm just telling you, how in the world can up in Indiana tonight can Preacher Billy Fields stand behind a pulpit and proclaim the love of God? I'm just telling you, folks, sometimes you just got to suck it up and say, "I'm going to praise him." Sometimes you just got to, listen, he's been good to me. Yeah, I might be having a bad day, but he's been good to me, amen. I might be having a bad week, but he's been good to me. I might be having a bad year, but he's been good to me. Hey, we ain't gonna have to face what these tribulation saints had to face. And glory to God, we can go ahead and sing, "He's been good to me." The vision of judgment, the joy, and let's look at the justice. And I'll be coming to a close shortly. The scene changes, and now our attention is focused on the tabernacle in heaven. What John sees here is the original tabernacle that Moses had built in the wilderness. This is the tabernacle that John is looking at. It's the tabernacle that this justice is decreed. The place where John sees that the temple of the tabernacle, the word testimony here refers to the law that was handed down to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments says that's God's standard for living, amen? That's the old, what people call the ancient law or the old law. That's how God showed his holiness. That's how God showed the sinfulness of men. When you look at those Ten Commandments, let me tell you something, folks. It's easy to live by some of them. Some of them is kind of hard. Amen. But that's how God set the standard. That's how God showed his holiness. And that's how God showed the sinfulness of man. Right there, the tables of the law were placed into the Ark of the Covenant. We know this. And that was there to be a permanent witness for Israel about the demands of a righteous God. Amen. John sees that this law is still in force. In other words, God's law ain't going to change. God, the Ten Commandments is still the Ten Commandments. They ain't 10 suggestions. They ain't 10 wannabe. I'm just telling you, they're God's law. They can take it off the courthouse wall all they want to, but I'm telling you right now, it's forever settled in heaven. That when God wrote it down and Moses etched it in stone, that means it's permanent, glory to God. They can't change it. They can't vote it away. It's God's law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. We know that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." Thank God for grace and mercy, because I'm telling you right now, when John sees this, the wrath of God that from all mankind is getting ready to be poured out because of the law of God has been violated. Let me tell you something, folks. You better be glad for the blood. We better be glad for the blood of Jesus that saves us from that wrath. Amen? Because they, right now, Brother Robert, they have rejected the blood of Jesus. All mankind has rejected the blood of Jesus. Now justice is getting ready to be delivered. Seven angels appear out of the temple in heaven. They are clothed in pure and white linen. This signifies their holiness and reflects the holiness of the one they serve. Amen. They wear golden girdles around their chest. It speaks to the majesty and the glory of the God they serve. These angels have in their hands the seven last plagues that are going to be poured out on the earth. If you study it out, these are the same four beasts that we met down back in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. These beasts give the angels seven bowls filled with God's wrath. This signifies the end of the plagues of the tribulation that's going to be carried out against the tribulation people. I thought about it as I was studying this. I said one time before, a few weeks ago teaching on this, that God's wrath has been building since Calvary. I was wrong. God's wrath has been building since the flood. Amen. In the flood, we see God's wrath poured out on mankind for being disobedient and not following his laws and not following his ways. And we see God poured out his wrath in the flood. And God said, I'll never destroy the earth again like that. He said, next time it's going to be destroyed with fire. And now God's wrath is getting ready to be poured out on all mankind. Verse 8. I want you to think about this. Chapter 15, verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Now we're talking about the tabernacle. Okay? If you study the Old Testament tabernacle, when they made the sacrifices when the glory of God came down, the Bible says that the smoke filled the tabernacle and nobody could go in and minister because the smoke had filled the tabernacle. Look at what verse 8 says. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The temple was standing open up to this point. And now it's closed. No one's allowed to enter in because the temple is filled with the glory of God and the presence of an almighty God. But the door's closed. The Bible says no man can enter into that temple until these seven plagues are poured out. In other words, right there, mercy's done. God closes the door. It reminds me of a story. If you go back and look in Matthew chapter 25, I think it is, the story of the 10 virgins. We all know the story of the 10 virgins. I mean, most everybody here knows. I remember before I got saved, every time I'd go to church, the preacher preached on them 10 virgins. I mean, every time I went to church. And that's why I didn't want to go to church. I know that preacher was going to preach on them 10 virgins. And I knew I was in that five that wasn't going, amen. But in the story of the 10 virgins, the Bible says, the Bible says they were all virgins. There were 10 virgins. Five had oil, five did not have oil. And when the bridegroom made the call to come, they all woke up and they all tried to trim the lamps. And the five that didn't have any oil couldn't trim the lamps because there was no oil. And they told the other five, said, give us of your oil. And they said, no, we can't give you of our oil because if we give you our oil, we won't have enough. They said, go buy for yourself. So they go and try to get the oil. And before they could get the oil and come back, the bridegroom came. And the Bible said the door was shut. That's what's going to happen. God has been pouring out mercy, mercy, mercy ever since the flood. Ever since the flood. Well, how can you have mercy before Jesus? Go back and study it. Had it not been for mercy, David would have died. Thank God for all those animals that they had sacrificed. God's mercy was being poured out in the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, we find Jesus coming on the scene and Jesus paying the price for everybody's sins. Thank God. God poured out mercy. And God's been pouring out mercy for over 2,000 years since Jesus died. How much mercy did God show you before you got saved? How much mercy and grace has God shown you after you got saved? But at this point, for mankind, it's over. It's over. Nobody can go into this tabernacle. Nobody can go into it. This is going to be a reality one day for some people. The bowl judgments. And as we study, as we go back in the book of Revelation, the next few chapters, I think it's going to break down what I've been preaching about tonight in a little more detail. But my question to you tonight is this. Do you know without a doubt if something were to happen to you right now that you could go to heaven? That's the question. Because I'm telling you right now, one day the doors are going to be closed. And when it happens, there ain't going to be no more mercy. No more mercy. I want you to bow your heads. Juwan, come.